Not on school-based intervention? It will be, okay. As I just said at the introduction, 60% of the children, school-age children, are high-functioning, and they are mostly included in regular education, which they need to cope with social demands on a daily, hourly basis. And I think that this requires us to think outside the box in at least two main directions, in more than these two main, but I would like to focus in this talk on these two main directions. The first issue has to do more with not autism-specific studies, but social skill or social competence, general perception. And I think that we need to switch our thinking from teaching skills to teach more integral social functioning. I will just expand on this in a minute. And the other direction is, how do we switch from efficacy study to effectiveness studies, from more laboratory studies to real-life ecological studies that are being performed in school or in the community? And indeed, in 2005, Lord and many other colleagues have concluded that efficacy trials, also called explanatory trials, ask the question of whether the treatment works in ideal circumstances, whereas effectiveness research asks whether it works in the real world. That is, do the essential elements of the therapy lead to positive outcomes in the usual practice setting? And how can we do these studies without losing the benefit of efficacy studies? So just going back to the perception of social competence, so it is a multidimensional construct, which includes three main areas of capabilities. And the first one will be social cognition, which includes social information processing, social attention, social understanding, emotion recognition, and many other important capabilities to social functioning. The second area will be affective skills, which includes emotion regulation or social motivation. And only the third one is the social interaction. What is the child actually doing when he's playing with his friends in the playground or during recess time? And why do we need the integration of all these three areas? Because social competence is really meant to be able to adapt flexibly to different social contexts and different social demands. And another perception that is more recently accepted is that we can teach social perception. And if the child will obtain a better understanding of the social world, it can influence the behavior. And the child is really, really perceived as a cognitive constructor of the social world. And if we are looking for treatment that really best meets the multidimensionality of the definition of social competence, as we just heard from Dr. Wood, CBT, the cognitive behavioral therapy, is really very helpful, because the conceptual assumption of this therapy is that there is an interplay between the way children think, feel, and behave. And if you want to do an effective intervention, you have to include all these three together. And children think and children act, and the way that they think or appear not to think, if they don't understand what is joint engagement, they cannot collaborate with their friends. So the way that they think or not think really influences the way that they act. And CBT focuses on changing, as we just heard, changing distorted information processing, rebuilding and adaptive processing, and it provides you a lot of cognitive and behavioral techniques to work on learning and experience. You have to also acquire the learning of the social construct, but also in order that it will not stay in the theoretical level, the child needs to experience. And indeed, in line with this, more and more studies that are treating social competence for children or for high-functioning children school age are using modification or adaptation of CBT principles. And the first slide demonstrates three studies that are mainly use cognitive training to facilitate or to increase social behavior. The first one done by Gevers, they are all group therapy, And they are trying to increase sociocognitive or key sociocognitive skills. First one was aiming to improve theory of mind. The second one was aiming to improve theory of mind and executive function. And the last one was focusing on emotion recognition. They all show pretty positive results. In the first one, children improved on partial measures of theory of mind, such as understanding pretense and humor better after treatment. And also, parents reported improvement on the socialization subscales of the Vineland. In the Fisher and Happy study, they had three groups. One got treatment on theory of mind, the other one on executive function, the third one did not get any treatment, and both treatment groups improved their skills on theory of mind, which was really interesting, none on executive function. In the last one, in emotion recognition, children also had some recording of their emotional expressions at the home setting, and it was a group treatment, and ER improved, and also they show a trend of improvement 3 months after treatment. So specific cognitive training in the learned skills seems to be efficient to some degree. However, we don't know about generalization to different settings or to different sociocognitive skills. The second slide presents a more multidimensional social intervention, which include social cognitive skills together combined with social skill training or social interactive training. And the first two worked on the improvement of theory of mind and social skill training. First one to do it were Ozanov and Miller, which showed improvement in perspective taking, but according to teacher and parents' report, children did not improve their social interaction skills. Feng is an interesting study. It is a case study, but it was done in the school setting, led by the teacher who worked at the beginning in one-on-one with the child and then in a group setting. And in this study, they found improvement in theory of mind as well as in social interaction, more appropriate and more frequent social interaction after treatment. The last line of study were also group treatment combining with parent training, as we heard about Solomon Dr. Legason talk. And they were trying to improve multidimensional social cognitive skills, more than one, more than just TOM, so in just theory of mind. So in Solomon and Stitzer, they worked on emotion recognition, on executive function, on theory of mind, and combined with social interactive training, and found improvement on emotion recognition, on executive function, but mixed result on theory of mind. And in Stitzer, also parents reported on improvement on the social responsiveness scale. In the last one, in Bimont and Sofronov, also it included group and parent therapy, and we saw improvement in social skills and in emotion regulation after intervention and five-month follow-up, but no improvement on emotion recognition. Our study also used a multidimensional model of intervention, trying to improve several sociocognitive skills together with social interactive skills, and I will just detail about this in a minute. It's just that among all these studies who present positive results, very, very few have been implemented in school setting, except for Feng that did implement the intervention within school settings. The others, such as Bimont and Sofronov, they had teacher handouts, but the intervention itself did not take place in school. And as we said, children are in school, and that's the place that they need to cope with their social demands. So there are many benefits of running an intervention within school settings, as, for example, the typical peers are there, and it offers rich opportunities for spontaneous social interaction. It also integrates child's different social partners. You have the teacher, the parents, the peers. If the teacher can recognize another typical child with the same area of interest as a child with autism, he can notify the parents. The interlink between them is really important for the child's social functioning. You have professionals there. You have the teachers, the therapists, the psychologists. They can implement the treatment. It also meets a great needs of these children because the social deficit interfere with social relationship, impact adaptive functioning, and also academic performance. And a recent review, which reviewed single subject studies, just found that that implementing treatment in the child's typical classroom produced significantly higher intervention, maintenance, generalization, effects than intervention that involves removing the child from the classroom. So it's really good to do intervention within the school. However, it's really very, very, very hard. And it poses, I think, two major challenges. The first one is the limited resources and time that are there in the schools. So who will do the treatment? When it will take place? Who will pay for it? Who will supervise the teachers? Who will train them? And then another issue is poses a lot of methodological difficulties. How do you do a good study within school setting? How do you get all the approval of all the people that need to let you to get into the schools and still take a group of kids and put them in a waiting list control group to do a good RCT study? And also, how do you assess treatment fidelity? These are all important issues which are really hard to obtain in school setting. And in 2010, there was a review that concluded that we still don't know enough or almost anything about the effectiveness of intervention in school-age children's natural environment. We tried to compose a social intervention model which is implemented in school settings. And we are struggling with it, I think, for the last 10 years. And we train teachers, and I think we have over 100 classes across Israel that are implementing this intervention. And the model that we composed is cognitive behavioral ecological. It's really an ecological and very comprehensive model. The child is in the middle, and he is the target of the intervention. We provided an extensive curriculum which include all the three areas of social competence that are important. We have lessons on social cognition, on social understanding, on emotion recognition. We have lessons on coping with negative emotion in the affective aspect. And we also have lessons on conversation, collaboration, skills in social interaction. We also offer, because there are a huge individual differences in social functioning for the children. Every child stands in a different place in terms of his social interactive capabilities or social understanding. So we offer the Yadik treatment model and a group treated model. Now, in the outer circle, you can see the teacher. The teacher are the provider of the treatment. They are the one that implement the treatment. We support them, supervise them. And we have in each treatment model, we have typical peers who are included in the treatment. We also cooperating the parents through homework and through handouts. And we've been through several phases, and the first one was to empirically assess the effectiveness of this model. So we have three studies altogether. First one, the 2002 was a pilot study, and the 2007 was a replication of the pilot study, and they assessed the dyadic intervention, and we have another study that assessed the group intervention, and we have a curriculum that is gradually increasing in social complexity, and we want to improve social and emotional understanding, dyadic and group cooperative skills. How do we do it? The intervention structure and procedure, both training are being taking place in school throughout the whole school year. And the dyadic training is a teacher-led and peer-supported intervention. We have 3 hours within the child's curriculum to work on this social intervention, to work on the social intervention. And each child with autism had another peer aid that is matched with him, and they are meeting 2 times a week, one at home, at the child with autism home, and then the other one is during recess time. And parents are involved. If we are working, for example, on social conversation, parents know that this period of time they need to work on social conversation, and we also meet the parents at the beginning of the intervention. We instruct them along the way. The group treatment also is led by the teacher. It includes always 2 typically developing children who are the same age of the children with autism. And we have small group between 1 to 3 children with autism, so we have 3 to 5 children in each group. The group meet twice weekly, and we have another individual meeting with the child with autism, and we really emphasize and focus on learning and experiencing. What do we teach them? So we have 40 lessons for the individual treatment and 50 lessons for the group treatment, and it's gradually increasing. It's developmentally oriented. And we start with instruction and prerequisite concepts. We don't take for granted that the child is familiar or known any social concept that we want him to acquire through this intervention. So we will explain him. So we will talk about what is listening and how do we listen, why it is important to listen. We just don't want to teach them scripts. We want to teach them the motivation behind the social concept. We have lessons on effective education. In individual treatment, we focus more on basic emotion, but in the group treatment, we continue with complex emotion, hidden emotions, coping with negative emotion, and go on. We have dyadic and group treatment on conversational skills, and we have dyadic and group treatment on cooperative skills. We also include lessons on higher emotional understanding capabilities, such as understanding cynicism, irony, humor, or coping with group pressure or with rejection. And in the individual intervention, we emphasize social initiation. We work a lot with problem solving and role play. We use a mixture of CBT techniques, cognitive and behavioral. I don't have time to go through each of them, but you heard in the first talk, you heard a little bit more about each of these techniques. The cognitive is mainly helpful in terms of the learning aspects, and the behavioral enables us to use the experience. And if we teach social conversation, we will then again would switch to experience social conversation and go back to the learning and do this interplay all the time through problem solving and role play. And we use adult child, which is the teacher and the child, and we also have peer mediation and social groups. I just want to present some of the results that we found, and this is the first study that was evaluating the dyadic intervention. We had 19 children, and we had a pre-post assessment, no control group. This is the main and the big disadvantages that we have. It was really hard, but I will tell, if I'll have time, I'll tell you more about it later. We had a very extensive socio-cognitive assessment procedure. We evaluated problem solving, emotion recognition, and emotion understanding. And also we observed on social interaction. We looked at children's social interaction during recess time, before treatment and after treatment. And we had self and other reports. We had the teacher, the regular education teacher, and the special education teacher to report about the child's social skills. And we had the loneliness self-report scale and the self-perception. We found nice results in terms of social cognition. Children could provide more relevant and less passive and more socially oriented solution to the different social problem that it presented, that we presented in front of them after treatment. Also, in terms of emotion recognition and emotion understanding, we are really saw a nice improvement. These results are all including only complex emotion, and children could provide more example of complex emotion after treatment. They included more attribution to an audience after treatment. They also provided more specific example rather than general, more scripted examples, so it was kind of a hint for us that maybe they are more aware of their emotions that are experienced throughout social interaction. They could also recognize and explain their recognition of complex emotion after treatment. But the really big surprise was that we found improvement in social interaction during recess time with children that were not part of the treatment, and we found increase in positive social interaction, in initiation and responses, and we found decrease in low-level behaviors such as just close proximity, just looking, or just imitating the other kids, but not trying to do something active with the other kids. So they reduces this behavior and increases the positive behavior. And we followed up 4 months after, and this was really also a surprise, that we found in time three even better results. In terms of positive interaction, we found the trend for increasing, and in terms of low level, it was significantly reduced in the third time. So it's kind of a hint for a late blooming or something like that. Self-report, self and other reports, both teacher, the regular education teacher and the special education teacher report about improvement in all the aspects of the social skill rating scale, but we didn't find time effect on loneliness or on self-perception. The second one was in the second year, and we assessed the group intervention. We had the original, we had only 11 from the original 19 children who continued to the second year of intervention. And then we had a new group of 15 other kids that the two groups were matched on IQ, on ADI, and on chronological age. Again, we had an extensive assessment procedure, including socio-cognitive skills and social interaction, but I just want to emphasize that in this study, we also included indirect measures of social cognition, such as we evaluated theory of mind through the happy strange stories, and also we gave the children executive function test, which was the DKF sorting test, which is a test of categorization and flexible thinking. And we also included in our observation of children's interaction, we included an observation of what is happening within the small group in terms of collaboration. And we let the children draw a picture together before the treatment and after, and we coded their behaviors. So we found pretty much similar results in terms of the direct social cognition. And along the three studies, children can improve their social and emotional understanding and recognition. But what was more surprising is that we found that they better justified the mental states that they were identified in the strange stories after treatment. And also we found improvement in sorting and in sorting description and recognition description on the EF test after treatment. In the peer companionship within the small group, children also improved their mutual planning and coordination, and also they shared more. So we thought that maybe they became more friends along the year when working together. They were more active while implementing the intervention. However, we did not find generalization to recess time. When we implemented only, when we focused mainly on the small group, we did not have peer mediation during recess time, we did not get generalization of social interaction. So taking it all together, social cognition, you get very good results in terms of improving social cognition. Improving spontaneous social interaction is you should very, very carefully use study, and I think that you have to use an ecological study. I think that in the first study, when we used the peer A that came to the child's house and play with him during recess, this has really helped the children to generalize their interaction into school recess. So you can do research within school setting that will be like more like a laboratory if you're just staying within the small group and you're not taking care of connecting what was done in the small group with the large group and with recess time. So just taking it all together, it raises many, 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 many questions. And the first of them is really methodological consideration. And we are really struggling now with how to do a study that will have a waiting list control group. So we think maybe to split the year into two halves and to provide treatment to have a waiting list treatment group and a treatment group. But this is really something that needs to be taken care of, and it needs to be in negotiation with the school system. It's really hard to do that. Also, it raises many questions. How do you do effective utilization of ecological naturalistic model? How do you really take, who is the person that really takes care of the interlink between the different people who provide the treatment and are there and the child is interacting with them, the parents and the teachers and all the others? And, of course, generalization and maintenance is really a big issue. And there are also issues about social curriculum. What do you need to teach directly, and what can you expect that a child will learn indirectly out of this treatment? And just to, I'm lucky to be a member in a research team that strives to insert CBT in social intervention within technology, and we are implementing virtual reality. We have members from Italy and from England. I think Sarah Person is here from England, and Einat Gal from Haifa in Israel, and we are designing through virtual reality and shared surfaces table, I hope I said it correct, because I'm not a technology person, but we're trying to insert CBT into there and work on collaboration and on conversation and do it within school settings. So we are now just collecting data and struggling with doing the interventions. I have no results to tell you about, but this is also another line of study that we can think about. And there are many people that helped me to do this work, and thank you all for listening.